Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 45 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown, and I am joined by my brother, Sammy K. We are going to be talking about Mama Dooku in this episode. But before we do, I want to just quickly go through the intro. So first off, for news, Gideon and Mando are slated to be releasing on May 3rd, which seems pretty super awesome. And the Bad Batch is out. There were no delays. So I was able to pick up my box yesterday. I picked up my box yesterday because Matt told us that one of the local stores had it. Some of the stores that I contacted didn't have it in, who normally carry Shatterpoint, so maybe people were expecting delays or something. But I assembled and primed the Bad Batch yesterday while I was listening to a podcast discussion on being in consciousness from David Bentley Hart, which was super awesome. Very, very zen as I was assembling the batch. Matt, or Sam, I assume you haven't bought them yet, have you?
No, I haven't. They're a future pickup for me, like put them on like a holiday list or something, but not something I'm picking up immediately.
Yeah, Sam is about to enter the final weeks of hell in his first year of law school, so I doubt that Sam has the inclination to, as opposed to the Mando, you are going to pick up the Mando immediately, right, Sam?
I am going to pick up Mando immediately. He's one of my favorite characters, and I like the Bad Batch, but yeah, I'm super excited for Mando.
I'm extremely excited for Mando. I am also very excited to test out the Bad Batch. I assembled and primed them yesterday. I guess I didn't prime Omega because I'll paint Wrecker first. But I am very excited to get some reps in with them.
I was just going to say they seem excellent. Like they seem like they're really going to shift up the meta, especially the meta of Republic.
100%.
That they just allow a bunch of different type of builds and all seem quite good in different contexts.
Yeah. Hunter seems just like such a, he seems just like such a good all around primary, durable, offense, fully consistent, like good threat, good mobility. We've talked about how with Hunter's ability, it makes Omega and Wrecker a lot more mobile to make that the consistency of that auto shove. I mean, the auto displacement can just be so good in the mid and late game. Maybe your first activation, you're not going to be able to trigger it, obviously, but wow, it just like, I can just see them just doing a lot. So I'm really excited to get some reps in. I'm going to test out a list this week when we play our games. I'm going to play some Mando proxying him in with the batch. So Sam and I played when we were testing out the Mando, Sam played Mando, Obi-2, Bounties, and then the Dooku box. And I think that Obi and Bounties are just such a good pair for the Mando. So I'm going to try that and see, because the Bad Batch are scoundrels and I want to see if there's anything there, but I also just want to test them in the Republic because I can totally see, I can see there's Obi-Wan synergies with Tekko, and there's just Rex obviously is just going to do a lot for them.
Just so. Every clone gets so much better when you can change a fail to a strike.
I know, it's wild. Oh man, that is absolutely wild. So very fun to test them out. And obviously we're not the Empire players. I will be picking up Gideon on day one just because I think there's a good chance that the Dark Troopers just really shift around the meta kind of they will kind of fill that pocket place of they're not Magnas, but they are very, very close. Or maybe they even are Magnas. I don't know. In terms of their power level. So it'll be interesting to see. I'll be picking them up, but I'm just not as excited to play them. So for upcoming events, April 27th, again, we're having that showdown tournament at Mythos Games. This is for those of you who are in Utah. I think there's still one spot left, so sign up. The Zi-Fi Invitational is totally full. May 18th, what we're going to be doing is we will be, as soon as Scott gets the alt sculpts painted, we will be posting kind of a final tournament document that will just have the rules for specific to the tournament, it just in terms of form and everything like that, painting requirements and everything like that. Spoiler alert, there aren't not going to be any painting requirements, but also just the swag, what we're doing. So we'll be sending that out here in the next week or two. But obviously, we're so excited for that. I can't believe it's a month away and it's going to be a very, very fun tournament. There was one recent tournament on Longshanks that I want to call out. This was at the Dark Sphere in London. And what I'm doing is I'm just culling through Longshanks and looking for events with 12 or more people. I mean, I would do one with 10 or more people, but 12 is just the number that I'm looking at a little more particularly. So this is a 12-person tournament, happened in London, and Archie Cable went 3-0 with Obi Plo. So, and the list was, it's Obi, Rex, Arfs, Plo, Snips, Republic Commandos on Sabotage Showdown. So there you go. And then there was another one. James Green also went 3-0. He had slightly worse strength of schedule, but he was running Vader 2, Stormtroopers, so the Stargent and Stormtroopers, and then Lumi Django Fifth Brother, which, to be totally honest, seems really strong. So those, yeah, those two lists. Yeah, those are looks like a good list. Good, pretty good meta, mix of metas. Unfortunately, there were two Anakins brought, and one of them went 0-3, and one of them went 1-2, which just makes me a sad panda bear. But I was surprised to see Anakin, and then I was not super surprised to see him doing as poorly as he is. So, okay.
Poor Anakin.
Let's talk about recent games, Sam, and what we are practicing in preparation for Zi-Fi.
Yeah, so the only game I played this last week was the game with you, Kenny, where I played Maul Grievous Droids into your Dooku Talzin.
Yep.
And it was a really good game. Dooku Talzin eventually trapped me out by, like, I just had needed to wound secondaries in order to win and then hope that I don't die to retaliation attacks. It's just, when you're getting double retaliation attacks, it's hard to, you know, the odds aren't in your favor there. I made some misplays with my very first struggle with Kalani. I had a really good Kalani turn, but it could have been even better. Mm-hmm. I still think that list is real good, but we're going to be talking more about Dooku Talzin and kind of the unique pressures that it puts on later. Yeah. So I won't dive in too much into it. But yeah, that was my only game this week. So
let me, I do want to call out one thing. So Sam, he's running Maul, Grievous Droid. So Kalani Kraken, B2s, B1s. And what is super interesting about this list is, one, obviously, it slots in this squad. These squads slot in real well into a premier list with Mama Dooku. But also, I have never seen such mobility on the board in terms of just what everything that's going on, right? Maul is the only person where on his activation, you are not moving two people and, you know, two units. And also Maul is kind of his own weird case because he's moving two of the opposing units, right? If you're you're pulling somebody and attacking and displacing somebody else. So Maul is also kind of a weird case, but obviously you've got two sets of droids that are mobile in terms of the B2s have the ability to dash for a force, and the B1s have a reposition on step two, and Kalani and Kraken are so good together in terms of just their force multiplying effect. So Sam was using Kalani and Kraken to kind of tag together so that Kalani is getting maximum movement out of his start of activation spam, and it felt very strong. Like if I wasn't running something like Mama Dooku, I just don't know how I even would have kept up, but it felt very, very good. So
yeah, my take on Kalani, I see a lot of people really high on him. I feel like a lot of people are really low on him too. That I feel like Kalani is a model with distinct weaknesses that he really needs Kraken to fix those. His lack of own self-mobility and vulnerability to conditions are both helped by Kraken. As long as you're using Kraken's force ability to dash Kalani, and then you either get a great six-dice attack with Kalani, or you can remove a condition, just really helps shore up Kalani's weaknesses and allows you to get the most value out of him.
100%. Like, I would run Kraken without Kalani. I would never run Kalani without Kraken, right?
Yeah, that's where I am with Kalani as well.
Yeah. I've been running Kraken for a while. I've only run Kalani. I've probably run Kalani less than 10 times, and I've played a lot of Separatists. And my views on this have mostly been informed by Sam in terms of playing with and against Sam and seeing Kalani's power, but also seeing how he's so much better if he has Kraken. And so anyway, just some general thoughts on that. I played that game with Sam. Matt and I also played two games where I ran both games, Mama Dooku, and Nat was testing out some things. He ran Vader Lumi for list one, which he ran that list that we were talking about where that the player ran Vader Lumi with commandos. And it's, I can't remember the full list, but it's just like a damage list is the idea. You're trying to take advantage.
Obi-2, Jango, commandos, Arfs.
That's it. That's exactly it. And so, I mean, that's a very, very strong list. And he was just trying to, I mean, it's a damage list is obviously what it's trying to do. You're trying to take advantage of Vader's dice, Lumi's dash, or to get dashes. And you also have this defensive ability with Obi-2, who is obviously extremely strong. And it's a very cool list. I was running Mama Dooku because it was mostly, and I think that was actually Matt's decision, because he wanted to test into Obi Dooku. And so then his second game, he ran Vader Plo, and he was running Plo with Sabe and Handmaidens, and Vader with, I want to say it was Barriss and Arfs. And the idea there was he wanted to see if running Barriss and Plo was good enough tech into Mama Dooku in order to see if like maybe that's the direction you should be going. And it was really interesting because he, so he's got Vader on his right side of the board, Plo on his left side of the board. I am putting a lot of pressure on his right side, so his Vader side. And he gets Barriss and he puts her in reserve, and I am able to, because the thing is with Dooku and with Magnus, is with Sabotage Showdown, which is not their preferred map. Their preferred map, I think, is Shifting Priorities with Mama Dooku, because you're just moving forward. Also, I am running Kraken and B2s as my as my secondary, or as my Mama package. And, ooh, actually, that's not true. I don't think I was. I was running Savage and Night Sisters. With Sabotage Showdown, Dooku and Magnus go up to a side, and if you do not have diceless displacement, it is so very difficult. Like, it just effectively shuts down a side of the board, right? Yeah. Unless you have diceless displacement. And so what he does is he draws Barriss, reserves her while he waits for Dooku to come up. Dooku comes up, gets in position, and the great thing about Dooku is he's moving himself, obviously, has tons of mobility, and he's moving his Magnus, and then the Magnus are following. So Dooku and Magnus can get to the midline on Dooku's activation, you know, with a few caveats. So I do that, get in position, and then what he does is he uses Barriss to come in, take damage, attack the Magnus, and then yeet Dooku into the corner, right? So now I have to shatter Dooku, which I do, in order to get back into position. And it just is kind of a unique tax on Dooku list. My worry about Barriss is that she is unbelievably fragile, and if she takes 2 damage from Vader, she is really fragile. I mean, the Magnus can possibly one-shot her, right? So at that point, but it was a very cool list. Unfortunately, I mean, Mama Dooku won both games, but it was good. It was really good to see, and like, I've been playing a lot more Mama Dooku than Matt has been, and he's just trying things in order to tech against Mama Dooku. So anyway, we'll be talking more about that. But those are the games I played recently. So this episode, in view of Adepticon and how Mama T and Dooku did, and in light of the fact that Zi-Fi is coming up. Oh, one thing I should have mentioned, I'm sorry, is that we have applied for that galactic tournament or whatever the heck it is that AMG is doing. We're going to try and do that for Zi-Fi, the fall Zi-Fi tournament. I don't know if it's obviously going to happen, but I also don't know, like, I mean, they say it needs to be at least 32 players, and our problem is that in terms of venue, it is difficult for us, unless we are going to get a little bit more creative, to find a venue that can host 32 players. I mean, we've got it right now with demo, but that's just, like, a lot of game stores can't have 32 players playing a Shatterpoint. It just takes up a lot of table space. So, but we have applied for it, and obviously I'll let everybody know if we are able to get that, because it should be a ton of fun. And it's also so awesome that AMG is leaning into the OP scene, which we were worried they weren't going to do. So in preparation for Zi-Fi, where it's going to be a 32-person tournament, a lot of people, really great players, I expect that there's going to be a lot of Mama Dooku going around. And Sam and I wanted to do is talk about this list, talk about why it's so strong, and just give just some general thoughts in terms of thinking about building for it, approaching it, what it's trying to do, things like that. So this is not like a how do you beat this list kind of episode, although obviously the things that we're going to talk about can feed into that conversation. But it's mostly more just trying to get an understanding for why it is that this list is so strong. Because my initial read when I first played Mamadouku, and I actually think my first game of Mamadouku was against Sam on TTS, was...
We played one in person, a Mamadouku
game. Did we play one in person? Okay.
We did, yeah.
So I remember just feeling like I could not understand... I felt like Mama is super strong. I mean, this was months and months and months ago. But I felt like, yeah. I'm like, Mama feels very strong. But I was not super high on Savage. I was not very impressed by Night Sisters. Like, even expecting what I was expecting. Was not super high on that. But I just did not feel like, I'm like, I don't understand, like, what is supposed to be happening here, right? Like, I can understand Mama's value. And obviously, Dooku's incredible. But I just couldn't see it. And I think that's interesting because at Adepticon, Mama T had less, she was in a lot of Swiss games and had less than a 40% win rate. And I think what that tells you is she is not a very easy figure to play. And the reason why it is not that she's not a bad figure is because she's an incredible figure. And I will just submit that as self-evident. Also, she was the most represented unit, most represented primary in the top eight. I think she was in five of the top eight lists and Dooku was in four, right?
And I so believe that tells, so.
And that tells you something. And Matt, who won Adepticon, ran Mamadouku in each of his three top eight games. Okay. So there's something going on there. And so let's talk about the list. So when we talk about Mamadouku, we're talking about the Dooku box, Dooku Jango Magnus, value is known. Then we're talking about Mama. And traditionally, especially in Premier lists, we're talking about Mama, Savage, and Night Sisters. So that is the list. There are iterations of the list. Now, I have been favoring recently running Kraken and B2s. And we can kind of break down why.
That's what I favor as well. That's what I played against you in that in-person game. And
yeah,
that's what I generally prefer. But there are reasons for both.
Yeah, Sam, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about why Savage and Night Sisters, and then you talk about why Kraken and B2s, okay? Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay, so great. So Savage, who I have been very down on, both on the Slack and in our group, our local play group, and just generally, okay? And the reason why is because Savage does not have a shove anywhere on his tree, okay? He has no displacement of any kind. Which means if he is going to take a point, he either needs to take a point that your opponent is not occupying. So getting a body up on a point, right? So either breaking a tie or going to a spot that's not activated. Or he needs to wound a unit. Now, he has two ways to do that. He has an attack where he maxes out at 8 damage. He also has a secondary ability, which is kind of like Django's not so fast, but it's one that it's like a trigger that you can pull. And I'm actually just going to pull up the ability because it costs
the same. It's the same, but costs 2 force and gives expose sometimes.
And it gives expose if it is a force user. And so it's called Dark Fury, 2 force cost. Choose an enemy unit within range 2 and roll 5 attack dice. The chosen unit suffers damage for each crit and hit result in the roll. If the chosen unit is a force user and suffers damage from this ability, that unit gains expose. So the idea here is that if Savage, you can use it either as a start attack, right? You're going to do this on somebody and try and soften them up, especially if it's a force user, so they can gain expose. Or you can do this if there's someone you are unable to wound, then you can do this. Now, obviously, the problem is that it costs 2 force, which is not nothing, and it's a little bit inconsistent. Right? You don't know how much damage you're going to be getting. You're hoping for 2 to 3, but you can roll 1. And so anyway, so that's how Savage is taking a point, is he has to wound somebody. He does have, however, Savage is very mobile. He has Furious Rush, which is a dash for a force. If he's injured though, he gets to advance. However, obviously you're spending 2 force in order to do that, but still pretty good. He has Overpowering Monster, which means when he is attacking a primary character, he adds 2 dice to his attack roll. But this is really where his value is. Characters in this unit have Protection and Steadfast, and it's unconditional. And he has 10 health. And so his defense and his defensive expertise is not super good, but he reminds me a lot of
Oh, I love his defensive expertise, Kenny.
Okay. Well, I should have said it like this. His defensive expertise is not good for absorbing damage. Okay. Yeah. But what it is good for, along with his protection and steadfast, is allowing him to stick on a point. And here's the reason why. At one expertise, he has a block. At two expertise plus, he has a block and a jump. So that's why Sam loves his expertise. He's only rolling four dice, but it is very difficult to remove him off of a point. He's got protection and steadfast, so he's going to be hard to shove and he's going to be hard to wound. And if he rolls two expertise, he is getting to jump back, right? So that is where his value is. He's also a deceptively mobile unit because he has Unwitting Brew, which is when an allied Separatist primary unit or an allied Dathomirian primary unit starts its activation within three, Savage gets to dash. So what you're doing is you're setting up Savage so that he is within range three of Dooku and Mama. So then whoever of them activates, he gets to dash. Then Mama can dash him, right, on her activation. Then he can Furious Rush, right? He can just get a lot of movement. And also with Dooku can also trigger him to roll as one of Dooku's two movements at the start of his activation. So he's a deceptively mobile unit, very difficult to wound, and very difficult to remove off of a point. The Night Sisters are a little bit more straightforward. They're just like, I hate to say it like this, but they're like clones. They have seven health, not great defense, okay attack, and they have coordinated fire expose. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of internal synergies that are working here, but the idea there is that you're pushing Savage forward. Night Sisters are able to spike attacks they can lead to spike attacks with their coordinated fire expose. So that's the idea there. Now, Sam, talk to us about Kraken and B2s.
Yeah, so I think Kraken and B2s with Mama, you're indexing more into Dooku than into Talzin.
Yes.
It's a question of which of your primaries do you want to be better. If you take Savage and Night Sisters, Talzin will be better. If you take Kraken and B2s, Dooku will be better. Kraken fills much the same role as Savage. He is a similar amount of tanky. His steadfast and protection is conditional to be contesting an active point, but that's where you want him to be most of the time anyways.
Yep.
He is not as out of activation mobile as Savage because he doesn't get to dash when Mother Talzin goes. However, Dooku can still dash him if needed. But he does grant other movement to your droids. So instead of Savage being a single unit that's hypermobile, Kraken is still decently mobile because he can dash himself, or he can dash other droids around, he can grant extra attacks. So you're sacrificing Savage's hypermobility for Kraken's team-wide mobility. I prefer Kraken's tree over Savage's. You can either double shove or pin shove on two.
Yep.
His damage output isn't as high, but I prefer displacement in general. B2s also just make Dooku's identity significantly better than only having Magna Guards. Yep. The fact that Dooku's identity, you want to pressure on two axes. You want to pressure damage from an attack or contesting from moving your droids. And if you have two sets of Separatist droids, then they have to wound both in order to turn off the potential contest from the dash.
Yep, exactly.
And so that really helps in terms of Dooku's identity. It gives you more flexibility of having that constant pressure. Also, those range 5 attacks with a shove are a big deal for Dooku's reactive. You can get a lot of displacement, especially because the list is force light enough that you can pay for extra dice on those extra attacks.
That's the great thing, right?
And B2s are generally slightly tankier than Night Sisters because they have protection, even though they have awful defense dice. The weakness was what you're trading is Mother Talzin becomes weaker, right? She's no longer getting exposed on her attacks, and she's no longer moving as many people out of activation. But that's being partially made up for by Kraken moving people out of that activation.
Exactly. And also, so you're taking away Mama's movement, and you're displacing it onto Kraken, and that Dooku's out of activation movement also becomes more effective, right? Especially his primary identity. The great thing about battle droids is that they have that, as Sam said, they have a shove on one, which feels really, really good, right? It could, because their offensive expertise, their ranged expertise, is just damage. One becomes one, two plus becomes two. But if needed, if you are, you know, needing to do more and you've got the resources for it, especially on these out of activation attacks, you can still do saturation fire and add two dice to the attack roll, which it can just feel very, very strong, right? In terms of, oh, you've wounded Jango, or you've wounded Kraken. Okay, well, now these B2s are going to attack you and they're going to roll seven dice on your turn, right? And you're hoping to take this point, and ooh, that boy, that can just get really scary. And also Mama T is going to be coming in to make an attack, right? So it can just be, it can feel very, very strong.
To me, the other thing in Premier lists that I think there's the two different lists angled being brought with two different things. Like the taking Kraken with B2 with Mother Talzin allows you to index more to Separatists in your Premier list. Because that means you can take Grievous, Kalani, B1s as a pairing with Mama T. Yes. Where if you take Savage, Night Sisters, I think you want to go more the Vader one route. Because Savage becomes better with that extra dice from Vader. He can just really consistently climb his tree and pump out that damage. And I feel like that is kind of whereas Kraken and B1s don't get as much value from that. So it kind of... where you want to index in your Premier list. Do you want to go more Separatists and have Grievous in a droid swarm list, or do you want to play more around a Vader 1 flex?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I will say one thing that, however, is that you can still, if you're running Dooku Mama and you're running Mama with straight Dathos, you can run Sam's list of Maul, Grievous, all droids, right? And then that becomes extremely flexible. I think Maul, who do you have with Maul? Do you have Kraken or Kraken B2s with Maul?
Yes.
I mean, do you think that goes well with Mama, or is that no, Mama is just going with Duke? Like, what's the play there?
Yeah, so I think that does go well with Mama, that you can play Mama Box, Mama Savage, Night Sisters with Maul, Kraken B2s, and now Mama's getting more value by she can move Maul. Night Sisters getting more value because they can expose for Maul. And you're still getting kind of the small Separatist package, the Kraken B2 package that gives you some extra movement and relatively defensive units.
Yeah.
I think that's really good. I think currently the one weakness of the Maul Grievous list is that you have no reactive on wound abilities, which I feel that those are some of the most powerful abilities in the game.
Yeah,
absolutely. And so, that's the trade-off there.
Yeah, what's interesting about that droid list is that you don't have reactive abilities, and you're really just a tempo aggression list, right? Where you're moving tons of people. And so it is much more about putting bodies on points and displacing your opponent and being very disruptive that way, as opposed to being able to respond to things that your opponent does. So I totally get that. Okay, so those are some of the, I mean, I guess we've only really talked about two, but we've talked around them. You can do other things. Like Vince, I think Vince has been running Sabe with Handmaidens under Mama. I think he's also running that with Vader. I'm not totally positive. Do you know, Sam?
Yeah, I think it's something, it's Vader with, I'm not sure if it's Jango or Obi-2 and Arfs, I believe, and then Talzin, Sabe, and Handmaidens, I believe. So it's just a very mobile list. It kind of mixes the Grievous. It plays the same thing as Talzin Grievous.
Yeah.
Is kind of the idea here. You're a hypermobile list that moves a lot of bodies onto points that also has an aggro piece and some reactive abilities whenever you get wounded.
Yeah, I mean, we have I know everybody is like, Sabe is awesome, and I've recently got on the Sabe train. Like, she is awesome. And the coordinated fire dash is so very good, especially with something like Vader, right? Because it's giving Vader some out of activation movement for other units, which he normally doesn't have. So yeah. Anyway, there are you can think of lots of different iterations. I suppose you could run Kalani B1s instead of Kraken B2s if you're wanting to give those magnets extra dice, but there's lots of things you can do. So that's the list. What is the list trying to do? Okay, and we've been thinking about this in terms of like, what is this? Like, why is this list so good? What is it trying to do? And one of the things is that it is establishing a strong board position with Dooku and either Savage or droids, and then defending and punishing your opponent's efforts to push them to push into those positions, right? We know how good Dooku and Magnus are at getting on points and staying on points. They're very defensive. Dooku, if they're melee attacking him, is going to be able to spend force in order to take away attacks in order to dash and perform. It's just very difficult to get off of a point. Magnus are very durable, right? So he establishes a point, and then either Savage, who is, as we've been talking about, is very difficult to remove off of a point, or Kraken and B2s, who are just tanky, and Kraken, when he's contesting a point, has protection and steadfast, they're establishing a similar kind, not as strong of defensive board pressure, but just it's very tough for your opponents to push them away, right? Either of those spreads. Savage is difficult to push off and keep off, and Kraken and B2s are, Kraken especially, is difficult to push off. B2s are tanky, right? So there's just, they're pushing up onto the board, and it is very tough for you to push back. One of the other things is that this list has Deathless Displacement in Mama T and Jango. Mama T's Hidden Hand ability, or whatever it's called, Manipulating Hand. Best displacement in the game, because you can do some really weird things to your... I know, Force Push is better, but Manipulating Hand is really good because you can put your opponent into some very weird or difficult positions. So, Force Push is better, but Manipulating Hand is extremely good because you're performing a dash with their unit. And obviously Jango gets a pull and they become pinned, right? So you are able to deal with figures like Dooku through this, because Mama T can make an attack into Magnus and then Diceless Displace Dooku, right? Or something like that. And Jango obviously is doing something similar. So they are establishing the strong board position. They have Diceless Displacement in order to get you off of position. And this is the thing that I think really defines the list, is that they punish you for wounding their figures. And they have pretty consistent damage. So you are trying to, typically the play with Dooku is you're wounding Magnus, right? You want to wound Magnus so that they are not able to contest points, because if Magnus are wounded, that really hampers Dooku's ability to swing multiple points, because he's got this mobility for them, but they're wounded, so it doesn't really matter. And obviously with Night Sisters or with B2s, it's something kind of similar, where if they're wound, you want to wound these guys, because one is they're easier to wound, right? Jango is difficult to wound. Savage is difficult to wound. So you're gunning for the supporting characters anyway. And now Mama is going to punish you for doing that, right? With her out of activation clapback. So you're going to wound Magnus. Mama's going to be able to dash and perform an attack on you. You wound Night Sisters. Mama's going to be able to dash and perform an attack on you. And it makes it, especially in the mid and end game, when Mama is going to be in a central position where she can project a wide range of threat, it is almost impossible to wound a unit in a way that will that you won't have to be heavily punished for with Mama's attack. And then obviously Dooku, if you are running Dooku with B or Magnus and then Mama with Kraken and B2s, if you wound a secondary or primary, like you're like, well, I guess I'm going to go for Mama. Now all of a sudden Dooku's ability is triggering, right? And he's refreshing force, and his Magnus are performing a five dice attack or a dash, or his B2s are performing a dash or a five dice, or maybe even seven dice attack. And that doesn't need to be on the figure who did the wounding. Yeah. So it just becomes, it's a very, very, it's tough to push into. And when you feel like you're making headway, they are just taxing you at every step along the way.
It becomes really hard for your opponent to try and wound someone with low health figures.
Yes.
This list isn't particularly good at one-shotting anything. So you're going to attack opponent's pieces mostly to displace them. Mm-hmm. And you're going to leave them with a couple of health left. And then that unit that's been shoved off is now going to be in a tough position of where, like, well, if I attack, I can die to the B2s or Mama T, and yep. This can be, it can make, create really difficult decisions for your opponent, force them to reserve when they don't want to, but they also have pressure from Django.
Yes.
I think Django functions really well in this list because it's not good at one-shotting.
Mm-hmm.
That he just, you have this interesting tension of anyone who's at low health in your opponent's list must reserve. And you can do that where, like, oh, I need to reserve the person under Django threat, but the person who only has two health left, they need to attack to wound someone, but that's a no-go either. Can just really lock your opponent out. I also think that Mama T allows you to play more aggressive struggle one than you would want to in other lists.
Yeah.
Typically, if you advance your supports too aggressively too fast, they just get obliterated. But yep. Mama T really wants somebody to be wounded so that she can have an effective first activation, or at least wants your opponent to push up enough that she can get an attack off. So you're either going to be trying to push up and get really in their grill if you think that you can sustain, if one wound isn't going to break your game, or you're going to kind of want to hang back a little bit, try and force your opponent to push up into you so that Mama T can get an effective attack off.
Yeah.
Because that first Mama T activation can be quite awful if your opponent hasn't pushed forward or they haven't wounded somebody yet.
Yeah. When we get to where is this list weak, I think I actually didn't put this in our outline, Sam, but this is what I think the biggest weakness of the list is, that Mama T's first activation can just be a total brick if your opponent hasn't pushed forward, because she has no self mobility. Her mobility is coming from, you know, hands blasting, and she's, you know, responding to attacks. That's where her out of activation stuff is coming from. But she is very slow to get off the board, right? So you, like Sam says, you want to push your supports forward so that they can get wounded, or so that your opponent is committing resources in order to wound them, so that Mama T can start moving up and responding, right? Which is just, it's a very different way. I mean, Republic players know that you're like, I can't push my supports forward because they will get obliterated. But that's also a separatist problem, right? Like, if they're, whoever they are positioning forward, if they're too far forward, once separatists, they're, so much of their shtick is about the fact that they have this out of activation movement. And if their supports are getting wounded, that's turning off one of their primary abilities. So they're also being a lot more they're being more careful, and they're trying to push forward durable units, or they're pushing their units forward in a position where they can respond if your opponent tries to come up, right? So rarely is it the case that you're like, oh, I want these guys to go forward, but Mama T can reward you for that, where normally you wouldn't.
I want to say one more thing about Mama T real quick. Because she sometimes has a bad first activation, there is strong incentive to reserve her. I don't think that is always the case, though, if you draw her early, that you want to reserve her. I do want to put this caveat out there that if you're playing against a very aggressive list, not something heavy displacement, but something you know is going to be wounding stuff, and you're the first player and you draw Mama T, even if you can't get on the center point with that first activation, you're not scoring anyways. It might be worth it just to move Mama T up into position.
Yep.
And then now she's a very attractive Shatterpoint target, and now it becomes really difficult for your opponent's aggro list to wound anyone because Mama T is already threatening.
She's already there. I think that's actually completely correct, right? Especially if again, she's now able to Shatterpoint, and I also think it depends on if you're playing Sabotage or if you're playing Shifting in terms of, like, kind of where she's positioning and where she can go. But I think Sam is absolutely right that because Mama T is all about position and presence and pressure in terms of being able to project a wide threat of force with her clapback. And so she is not there. I mean, with Savage, it's a little bit different, but she is not there to give you this crazy out of activation movement swarm. It is about being reactive to your opponent. And so establishing the kind of forward pressure where she can do that. I'm totally with Sam on this.
Just don't leave her out as the target. If you've moved her up and just said, like, ha, I've moved her up so she can be aggressive, and they're like, oh, okay, I'm just going to blow her up, then you've done that wrong.
Yeah, because her defensive expertise is not amazing. I think 1-2 becomes 1. She does have some crit turning, but her defensive expertise is not good enough in order to in order to let her take hits, especially from like a strong aggro list. Like Vader will 100% just one shot her, and yeah. So you should be just a little bit careful about that. But the thing is that Mama, even if you move her as far forward as you can, she's still not going to be very far forward. She's still not going to be on the midline on her first activation. So yeah, but obviously be careful with her because Grievous will kill her. Vader will kill her. She can be gunned down very, very quickly. She's rolling a lot of dice at range. I think she's actually best taking ranged hits and mostly staying on Great Mother's side. Wrath is a tough side. I do not want this to be all about Mama T because I feel like we could really get into the weeds on this. But Mama T's Wrath side is the side that gives you the free manipulating hand. The problem is there's no other shoves or displacement on that tree. And so it's very tough. That's like the side I guess you want to be on if you are like playing with Vader or something and she wants to be making melee attacks. But I think most of the time you're on Great Mother's side.
Yeah, I basically treat her as a one stance unit.
Yeah, which I think is probably the correct approach because Great Mother side is so good because she has, she has two shoves, shove two damage on step one. Then she can either go to another shove and one damage or two damage and an expose. And she has a pin on step three. So yeah, Mama T, I think you're typically on Great Mother side and she is typically your back line or like in between your midline and your back line so that she can project threat. And also at that point, then she's rolling seven dice on defense. And she's like, I mean, that is tough to shoot into, right? If she has three expertise, that's two block and a crit to a hit. Four expertise is two block and then a crit effectively to a fail. So anyway, it's a crit to a hit and then a hit to a fail. So that's typically the side you want her to be on. She's a lot more responsive, just a lot better that way. And then you're just paying two force for manipulating hand. And here is the great thing about this, is that you have the force economy in order to pay for that manipulating hand. Because Dooku is so good, and he's giving you four force, and he and Jango are both providing you force refresh. So when we're talking about why the list is so strong, first off, it is defensively resilient. You have durable units. Dooku, one of the best defensive units in the game. Jango, excellent expertise, 9 health. Savage, tanky as all get up, with protection and steadfast, and difficult to wound. Droids naturally have high health pools. The Magnas have 10 health. B2s have 8 with protection. You have this incredible defensive resilience in terms of it is tough to wound your units. And then they have out-of-activation movement in the form of Dooku, Mama T, and Kraken. Mama T, obviously, she's running with the Dathos, in order to contest your displacement. So if you are going to, you know, yeet Dooku out of a place, right, like he's got shatter points, or if you're going to yeet somebody else, they have lots of out-of-activation movement. And I think this is especially the case if you're running Dooku and Kraken. Obviously, you're losing a little bit with Mama T, but you've got a lot of out-of-activation movement in order to contest your opponent's displacement so that they are defensively resilient, and that is both of a durability and also just a point-holding perspective. It's just it's such a tough list to push into. Their out-of-activation movement is not the best out-of-activation movement in the game. Like, seeing Sam's list with Maul, Grievous, all droids, is the most out of activation movement I've ever seen. I mean, on Kraken's activation. So Sam's moving on Kraken and Kalani, and Kalani's activation, he is moving four droid characters, which is just absolutely insane. Kraken is moving people. Grievous is moving people. This list is not doing that, right? But it has very strong out of activation movement from Dooku with Separatists, which includes Savage, Mama with her Dathos, and then Kraken if you bring him with Mama. So still very good out of activation movement, even if it's not top tier. They have the best, this list has the best reactive abilities in the game. It has the out of activation movement we've already talked about, and then it has responsive attacks and moves when you wound their figures. So Dooku's protecting Mama, Jango, and then either Savage or Kraken. And then Mama's protecting everybody, right? If you wound anybody, she is able to perform a dash and then make an attack in Great Mother form, where on one step, she is getting two damage and a shove. Two steps, she is getting two shoves and three damage. So you have wounded this figure, you've taken this point, and now, I think it would be very difficult to put yourself in a position where she can't just shove you right back off of that point. So yeah. It can just be absolutely brutal. And obviously, we know how good Dooku's reactive ability is, especially because he is refreshing to Force. He's refreshing to Force, and then a Separatist droid unit is being able to perform either a dash or a five dice attack. And if you've got Magnas and B2s, that is just so very difficult to escape out from.
Yeah, I think that this style of list is just, it's what I like. It's one that I really like to play, but also I have one that I think is just incredibly powerful and so hard to, it brings so many of the best things in the game together that it makes it hard for your opponent to figure out exactly how to attack it and dismantle it. Because you have enough out of activation movement that they can't just force push everything.
Yeah.
They have to do some amount of, you know, wounding in order to keep your guys from just moving back on. But then they do that and you get more movement. So it's really like you're giving your opponent a bunch of lose-lose options.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They just have no... It's like that thing that I know has been talked about in a lot of games where you're talking about asking your opponent a question and are they going to get it right or wrong, right? And this list is asking, just constantly asking questions of your opponent, right? And I know that we can kind of frame everything, like every list is doing that. Droids are asking the question, how are you going to contest my huge displacement? But this is like droids, you're not asking your opponent a question when you're like, should I wound this figure, right? It's like, wound them, you know, push them off, doesn't matter, right? Whereas this list, you are putting this unbelievable tax on your opponent in terms of his or her just mental space to ask, like, are you going to wound them? Are you sure you want to wound them? Is now the time to wound them? Do you have, are you able to wound them? Are you able to withstand the clapback from wounding them? Right? There's just, you're constantly asking those questions of your opponent in a way that I just think is rife with your ability or with your opponent making errors. And if you listen to Matt's discussions, I don't feel like Matt, so Matt was on the Hello There and he's on the Momentous Struggle episode. I wish he would have given a little bit more. Maybe we should try and get him on the podcast to talk a little bit more about mashups and how he's playing into different kinds of lists. I'd be really interested in his take on the mirror. Because he was mostly just talking about, you should listen to those. I mean, he was mostly talking about preparation in terms of how games went. And also just talking about the general strengths of the list. But not so much in terms of thinking about, like, what is his game plan when he is playing into Republic, right? What is his game plan when he's playing into the mirror or something like that?
The mirror is tricky. In the mirror, I want Kraken over Savage because I want to be able to pin shove people without wounding.
Yeah. Oh, man. Such a great point. Well, that's it. That's what I'm going to run. Sam's right. I think that's absolutely right. The mirror is tricky though, right? Because you're kind of asking the same questions, like you're being asked those questions, right? And your opponent is you're wounding into their wounding into their wound. It can just be kind of wild. So but that also brings up why the list is so good again, is because it has diceless displacement and flexible responses, right? Jango and Mama both have diceless displacement, and Dooku and Magnus are the best attacking displacement in the game. And so this list is just able to respond to what you are doing. And Sam and I's game, so Sam's running this very mobile droids list. I'm running Dooku Mama. And what Sam is doing is he is putting tons of forward pressure on the board. I mean, all of his droids are contesting the midline very quickly. But then what happens is everywhere Sam is going, I am just responding to, just so I can keep scoring parity is the idea. And then ultimately, I am building up an attrition advantage because Sam's figures are getting more and more wounded. And when he wounds mine, I am attacking him to do more and more damage. And then eventually we just hit this break point where Sam needs to wound something, but he can't, you know, and also the weird thing, or not weird thing, but the good thing about it is that Jango, because of how this list works, it's not doing spike damage, can threaten activation. So now your opponent has to think about using his or her dice or out of activation movement to get people away from Jango, right? So now they're not even able to use their out of activation to maximum effect. So, I mean, you can just kind of see how that can snowball away from your opponent.
That really hurt me in that game where I had to, instead of moving some, it was a question of I leave Kraken where he's going to get, my Kraken was pinned, so I couldn't move him out of the way of Jango at the start of the turn. So I either need to move Kraken off the point, which doesn't score me a point, but keeps him from getting Jangoed, which I know is an activation that I have coming up that I'm not going to be able to do anything about. Yeah. Or I score a point by moving someone else with Kalani. And it was just one of those where it's like, well, I give up so much tempo if Kraken stays where he is. So
yeah. So we've talked, I mean, that's just like a kind of a general idea in terms of why this list is so strong, what it's doing, what is it, where is this list weak? So it doesn't have Vader 1, and that means that it's not doing very much spike damage. Dooku is consistently doing, I always plan on Dooku doing 5 damage, right? And then shove, right? Or reposition shove or something like that. Yeah. But, which is, you know, Magnus, very similar. Consistently 3 damage, 2 shoves. Jango, consistently 3 damage and a bleed. Mama, consistently 3-4 damage, shove, or shove, expose. Savage can spike, and he can really spike it. He can absolutely spike if his target is exposed from either coordinated fire or his Dark Fury.
If it's a primary force user he's attacking, his spike odds are pretty good.
Yes, right, because you're going to have Dark Fury, they're going to be exposed. Yes, absolutely. But there's extra kind of a dice. There's a lot that needs to line up there. If Night Sisters are attacking into a target that is engaged with Savage, they're getting extra dice. Or really what I find happens most of the time is that one of them takes the hit to be in melee range, rolling one fewer dice, but so you're the other one can roll 2 extra dice. So, you know, they can spike, but not really. Really, the point is this list is not doing spike damage. It's not able to 0 to 100 or 100 to 0, I guess would be the correct metaphor there. We're not able to 100 to 0 something like Grievous. Or, you know, think it's not going to be able to wound these things. Like Jango, this list, if Jango's not being exposed, it's going to take 2 or 3 attacks in order to bring him down. So things like that, right? Like that is obviously a weakness of the list. We've talked about Mama's lack of self-mobility, right? She's relying on you to wound her supports in order to move. So early on in the game, this is not as much of a deal at all, I think, in the mid and late game. But early on in the game, she can be very slow. Savage has no displacement. And the sisters are extremely fragile. I mean, a stiff, you know, breeze knocks them over, right? And then if you go with Kraken and B2s under Mama, you lose her out of activation movement. So, like, those are kind of, like, general weaknesses. Not spike damage. Savage is relying on his attacks in order to wound your figures because he's not able to displace. And Night Sisters are just extremely fragile, and you can lose synergy, right? Obviously, you lose a lot of synergy with Mama if you don't run Dathos. Sam and I think, correctly, I think, that you get a lot more with Dooku, which makes up for that if you run Kraken B2s.
I honestly think the difference in power between Savage Night Sisters and Kraken B2s is honestly more one of play style and synergy, what you want your rest of your list to be doing in a premier format. And I think both you and I favor the Kraken B2 style of play.
Yeah.
But there's people who have run similar lists. I know Morgan Reed had, like, he won the first TTS with, like, Dooku Barriss Magnus with Mama T-Box. So something pretty similar. And then we saw, obviously, the full Mama T-Box do well at Adepticon. So I think it's a play style thing more than a real major power difference. I think they just have different strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, I 100% agree with everything that I 100% agree with everything that Sam has said. I still don't think Savage is awesome. I think he is top of C, bottom of B tier figure. And I like, it's kind of crazy that I would even say he's bottom of B tier. I think he's more of a C tier figure, just because I think that Savage is in your list of Mama, Night Sister, Savage. Savage is most likely to be your dead activation, because if he is not able to wound a figure and you need him to do that in order to take a point, you have just, like, you've just rolled into the brick, right? Whereas the sisters have pin shove. So it's pin damage, pin 1 damage, shove 1 damage, right? On 2 steps. And their offensive, their ranged expertise is like B1s, which is not good, right? In terms of 1 for 1 hit, 2 to 3 for 2 hits. But you're only really needing to get those 2 steps. And if you're getting extra dice, or, I mean, obviously, if someone has already been exposed or something like that, they can't use, obviously, their coordinated fire for themselves. But this list has lots of expose and lots of way to get exposed. That's all you're needing to do is get those 2 steps. So if they're not attacking into primaries and secondaries, if they're attacking into supports, you can pretty consistently get what you need to get in terms of the shove and pin, which is just extremely good. So So I would never say to players who are thinking like, oh, if I want to run Mama Dooku, I shouldn't run Savage Nine Sisters. I think you totally can. It's great, great list. I think you're going to have to really learn to maximize Savage's out of activation movement, and know really how to be careful with Savage, because again, he can most likely be your dead activation if you are not able to wound the figure that you need to wound in order to take a point. But you know, you do you. And I think obviously Matt did really well with it.
Think of him more as a mobile tank than as a damage dealer.
Yes. Yes. He is very mobile and he is very difficult to displace. And so, you know, and the reason why everyone loves Diceless Displacement is because it's not reliant on dice in order to get the effect that you need. And so, I mean, we're not saying anything new there, but that's just something to be aware of. So that's the list. We haven't really, and that's just some general thoughts on it. Obviously it's a very strong list. In my opinion, this is the strongest. These are the strongest two squads together in the game. And the reason why is because they are able to respond to everything that your opponent can do. Is your opponent running aggro? They've got a response. Is your opponent running control? They've got a response in terms of their out of activation movement. Is your opponent relying on swarm? Like they can swarm, they can deal damage into the swarm, and also they can really respond. It's unbelievably good in the mid and late game. Because you've got Jango there to pressure with Not So Fast, and you've got all of these clapbacks coming when they're wounding your supports or your secondaries. So I think it's very, very strong. I think that if we're talking about ways to contest it, and that's not really what this episode is for, but obviously really leaning into the Diceless Displacement, really leaning into the pin kind of game. Because the great thing about if you're going to attack into Mama, if you can pin Mama and then engage her, she's not going to be able to do her clapback. Which is obviously that can be very brutal. So those are kind of things that you want to be thinking about, but that's not what this episode is for. We might have to do we might actually just have to do that kind of after Zyfy, see who brings Mama Dooku. I think I probably will bring the list with B2s and Kraken and B2s in order to think about how you're going to contest it. So Justin, one of our, like a really strong local player, ran a list at the Return of the Jedi event that we had. A few weeks ago, where I think he was running 4 or 5 Diceless Displacements, right? He's running Mama, he's running Maul, he's running Fifth Brother, Jango. Oh, I can't remember what else. I don't think he was running Barriss, but I mean, all the Diceless Displacement. I think he was running Obi-2, so that wasn't. So he's got like 4 Diceless Displacement units. I think that, you know, if you're really leaning into it, maybe that's the play. I don't know. Honestly, like in terms of what is going to have really strong play into this, I have not yet. I've just been playing it, and I have just every time I've played, it's felt very strong. So I'm not totally positive. Do you have any thoughts on that, Sam, before we close it out?
No, I'm excited to see what people figure out into it. And I think there can kind of be a rock, paper, scissors, because I think like, yeah, those really heavy displacement lists might be really good into it. But then you can bring your swarm list in response to that, and then you know you can kind of play some mind games in Premiere of like, well, are they going to bring the thing that beats my swarm, or are they going to bring the thing that beats the displacement, their displacement list to beat my Mama Dooku? So there's an interesting push and pull I think that can happen in Premiere. I have a hot take projection into the future.
What is it?
That this style of list, I'm really excited to see if this Mama Dooku list translates to be something very similar and very powerful with Mando Kanan.
Oh man, yes. Yes.
Like, I think Mando Kanan Spectre might be able to pull off a very similar style of play.
So Mando, for those of you who don't know, Kanan is effectively just Mama T, but only for Spectre units, right? It's only if you wound Spectre units.
So Rebel Alliance, he gets to move and recover, and then he only gets to make the attack if it's a Spectre.
Okay, and then Mando's ability is that after one of any figure is wounded, he gets to heal 2, then reposition, and then give hunkers to bounty hunters, scoundrels, and Mandalorians, I think is the tag on units. So he is responding. It's kind of like, it's obviously not Mama's attack, but he is able to move very far after healing, and he's a very defensive unit, and then splash out a bunch of hunkers, which obviously...
Yeah, and like Kanan's a scoundrel, and... Sabine's Amando.
Oh man, yes. I would love that. I'd love it. I think because I am very confident that I will be running Mando at Zyfy, assuming he's not delayed. And I'm not totally positive the place in which he fits there, but I love that kind of. He's Mando's just 100% my kind of unit. Very defensive, cool reactive ability. And he doesn't honestly, like, Mama Dooku can, I think, feel a little oppressive at times. We talked about this with Vader Grievous, and it feels like Mama Dooku is kind of the next iteration of, we have figured out the game. We know how to respond to Vader's aggression. And now there's this other thing that's like, well, we have figured out how to respond to Vader's aggression with defensive reactive abilities. And now we have found what seems to be kind of the top of that crop, right? Which is Mama Dooku. So we'll see. But anyway, I'm super excited for Mando. Can't wait to play him. And I'm also very excited to see how this list develops in the future. Okay, well, we want to thank everybody for listening. Have an awesome week. May is going to be upon us, which means Zi-Fi is going to be upon us very, very soon. So we're excited for Zi-Fi. We encourage everyone to join the Slack, rate and review the podcast. Please give us a rating and let us know how we're doing. We would also really love it when you hopped on the Slack, if you would fill out our Google form so I can send you a promo. If you have filled out the Google form and have not got a promo, you need to reach out to me, because I have had some come back, but I've also just had, because of how the card is sent, I send it in like this, I send the card protected, but that can be kind of weird when you're sending by mail, because it can get shredded or rejected by the postal service. So if you have not gotten your promo, let me know and I will get you another one. And I would absolutely love to do that. But otherwise, we got nothing else. We love you all. Everyone have a great week.